Chuck McKenney joins the show, and we decide that everything's fine. It's been fine. It's going to be fine. But we'll talk about trades anyway. Stick around for the Wednesday Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go! Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Wednesday, hump day. We're going to get you through it. I'm John Corrales from MassLive.com. Here for you every day, Monday through Friday, with a fresh, free, daily podcast. Joined today by my good friend and former partner at RedsArmy.com. You can still find his work at RedsArmy.com. It's Chuck McKenney. Chuck, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I mean, you know, a couple of easy wins, you know, make up for that three-game losing streak. I'm feeling good. It's, you know, it's cool, but, you know, let's see, 30, let me check my math. 35 plus, you know, when you win two games by a total of 47 points, what's there to complain about, right?
Right, right. So are you feeling like, how are you during the streak? We didn't talk much during the streak, the losing streak. Were you, you know, losing your mind? I did see a tweet, Chuck, that you were like, I'm ready to trade Gordon Hayward for Andre Drummond.
From time to time, John, I think you may know this about me. I sometimes let my emotions get the best of me, and I become a bit cynical with in the immediate moment. So, you know, I don't mind a bad loss here or there. I was, you know, I kind of bottomed out in that against, you know, Philly. The loss to Philly hurt. And Hayward didn't have his best game.
No, he did not.
And so my emotions got the best of me. But it's funny. I felt like, you know, I was thinking about Hayward. Hayward's been the topic of a few discussions on social about, you know, for some reason it's what should we do with Gordon. And I figured it, do a little prep work for this podcast. Let me call up his numbers in January. Because to me it feels like Gordon's struggling a bit with his shot. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as good as it was before he injured his hands. And then I look at his numbers for January, and he's shooting 48% from the fields, 39% from three. And he's averaging 15 points and 5 rebounds, 3 assists. So, you know, I don't know what I was all worked up about.
I think there were a couple of games in there. Like when you look at it, and this is a great point to make here, because when you look at the whole thing, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, he's fine. The game to game, the under the microscope kind of like day to day thing, you start to like run hot and cold. And so he goes 4 of 11 against Chicago, but prior to that against New Orleans, he was 8 of 11. And then before that, 4 of 11 against Philly, but then 7 of 14 against San Antonio. So he's had some big nights in January against Chicago the first time around, 9 of 14. So he's had the big nights to kind of make up for the bad nights. And he doesn't shoot a ton. He's not taking 20 shots a game. Like you go through the January game log, working backwards, 11, 11, 11, three straight games, 14 shots against San Antonio, 11 against Washington, 14 against Chicago, and then 18, that's his big shooting night against Atlanta to start. So making one or two affects that number greatly. So he's, I guess what people are looking for is more consistency with Gordon, but I'll go to what Brad Stevens said before the game last night. He said when inside the building on the team, they don't look at whether the ball goes in or not as consistency. They want the process. They want, are you in the right places? Are you trying to make the right plays? Are you taking the right shots? And if you're taking the right shots and you're making all the right plays and four of them go in instead of eight, then, you know, shit happens. But we on the outside look at it and go, well, he had, you know, 14 points or whatever it was in this game and 30 in the other game. And why isn't he consistent? When really, who is like, unless you're, I don't know, James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, like those are the only guys who are consistently putting up great performances. Like sometimes you don't shoot well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. I mean, we as fans, I mean, so fans are the exact opposite of what, you know, Brad looks at. Yeah. You know, we just see the finished product and we don't give a shit about anything that went on behind it. If he throws up a couple of crazy shots and they go in, we're feeling good about him. So, I agree. And it's in the middle of the season now. We're approaching like the halfway point. It's winter here. You know, we're all wearing down a bit. So these, you know, we're looking for things to nitpick and such. And we, I mean, this team's obviously had a lot of success, right? So there are some holes. And I think, you know, when you see them, you get a little bit frustrated. It would be nice to actually beat the 76ers. I think that would be super helpful. But there's a lot to be positive about. So I'm trying not to be, you know, not to dwell on the kind of negative aspects to Hayward's game, because, you know, I'm still pro Gordon. I still think he has a very important role in this team. You just watch the way he facilitates. You know, I just don't buy this argument that his mere presence could stifle the growth of the two Jays at all, because he's a facilitator, number one.
Right.
And that's the best part of his game. And like you said, his shot volume isn't really there. So I don't see him being a problem in that regard. It's just a matter of him making open shots and continuing to move the ball. And I think he fits in just fine. And part two of that is there's no obvious sort of move that makes sense where you say trade Gordon Hayward for player X and both teams are better for it. So, you know, yeah, we continue to talk about it. I don't know why.
Right. Well, I mean, this, the classic question here, Chuck, isn't it? All right. We're at what? 38 games into the season. So 4 games from the midway point. And I say to you before the season, here we are. We're going to talk on January 14th. And I'm going to tell you the Boston Celtics are 27-11, 6.5 games behind Milwaukee in second place with a point differential of 7.1 points, which is second best in the conference and third best in the league.
Yeah.
Would you take it?
Hell right? Yes.
Right?
There isn't a fan out there who wouldn't have said, sign me up for that.
You say, okay, so we're 27-11. We've won 71% of our games. It's the third best overall record in the league percentage wise. You're in second place and all that other stuff. And yeah, there's a 3-game losing streak mixed in. You'd be like, I don't give a shit about 3-game losing streak. Who cares? You're 27-11 in the middle of January. You've got, oh, by the way, 3 guys you could potentially, maybe there's a chance at getting 3 all-stars. Like, is this not like the dream season? Considering where they came from, considering everything that happened this summer, you in the preseason, every single Celtics fan signs up to be in this spot right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We should be giddy. I mean, and another, you know, the component of that is Enes Kanter's, you know, impact and how he's been, right. he's been super productive in spots with the offensive rebounding, the points. And yet there's still, and I'm starting to call them these never canter folks out there who just continue to harp on his, lack of defensive ability. And it's just right. Like, if you accept and embrace for what he's bringing to the team, which yes, is one dimensional, but it's a one dimension that this team needs very much. Then that's just another thing where it's like, wow, you know, we're getting all this from Kanter too. And he's, you know, Brad's not going to play guys who are such detriments on the defensive end. So Kanter's doing just enough.
Right.
And I think that's another, you know, another wonderful aspect to this season that, We just, if you told me that a couple of months ago, I would have taken it.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. We all know with Cantor, we get it that if he's going to be in pick and roll coverage, he's going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
But you know what? Vincent Poirier was out and is clearly way behind everybody right now. Robert Williams was getting rotation minutes and now he's out. He's been out. He's not coming back anytime soon. So you've got Daniel Tice and Grant Williams, who's a rookie and obviously small. Like you're kind of stuck when it comes to bigs. And if there's ever an argument for like, well, we need bigs, it's because Tice tends to, you know, he's got the knee tendonitis. They're a little thin in that area. It's not about, oh my God, they need a big to challenge Joel Embiid. It's they may just need some size if Poirier doesn't really pan right out. So, but going back to your original point, Enes Kanter is who he is. And in a perfect world, Brad Stevens won't play him in certain situations. He's going to look absolutely horrible. He's going to have stretches where he looks lost and terrible. But going all the way back to the playoffs for the Portland Trailblazers, he's been useful. And he's done things that the Celtics have needed him to do, mainly rebound. Like, how long have we been begging for a rebounder around here? Like, yeah. I don't care. As long as he rebounds, we got to get him in here. All right, here's Enes Kanter. Whoa. Not that guy. I was skeptical. I've said that he flat out won't be playable against like the Toronto Raptors, and he might not be, but that's where you hope other guys can step up and Daniel Tice can be healthy and maybe Poirier can kind of rise to the occasion. But I think the message here is like, as much as we want to complain or people want to complain about some of the things that have happened, the Celtics are really, really in a good place. It's like saying, well, you know, you've really blown some of your money. You bought some pretty stupid things. Like, yeah, but I've also got like, you know, $10,000 in the bank or whatever. Like my 401k is up like 20%.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like your money, like you're in a good spot, even though in the midst of it, you can put the microscope on it and be like, oh, that was bad. But nothing goes 100% right. So.
No, and you, it's funny, you really just glossed over Tice, because going into the season, we were super concerned about him, right?
Right.
He was going to become our starting center. We're like, holy shit. And I mean, that is problematic. And now I've reached a point where I have full confidence in Tice to do what he's doing. He's not going to light up the stat sheet, but there are times he gets you those 10, 12 rebounds. There are times he gets you those 12 to 14 points. There are times he gets you those, you know, key blocks. Like I have no big concerns about him. I mean, yes, he's still he's not an elite true center, but he can more than hold his own. And that, I felt like that he was a huge question mark. So now suddenly the concerns we had about Tice shift to other guys like Kanter and so on. So that's just another area. Like we just gloss over how good Tice has been.
Right. Well, the league doesn't really demand that you need a big center all the time. Like the Embiid thing is going to be an issue, but I've been saying, like, sure, Embiid, he might crush Daniel Tice. He might, maybe you play Kanter and then you pick and roll Kanter to death. I don't know. But at the same time, you could put a lineup out there that Philly has to keep up with, and I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with it. So we'll see. That's another conversation for another time. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. And, you know, after declaring for 11 minutes that everything is fine, we'll try to trade somebody away. What do you think? We'll do that when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
January. Holidays are over. We've all got a couple of pounds to work off. You don't want a Peloton. You want yourself an Echelon. Get fit in 2020. You don't have to pay a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. Best way to get in the best shape of your life is Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, elite athletes like me and Chuck, whatever your activity level. And with live daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your own home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you're not 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. No problem, no risk. So join hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA. to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad offer and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. Echelonfit.com/LONBA. All right, Chuck, we declared the Celtics fine, fit, healthy, but because everybody out there, not everybody, it's a lazy way to say it, but a lot of people out there, they still want to trade. They want something. They want bench help. They want something to fix the things that are broken, because now that the Celtics are close, people want to get closer.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, we're not happy being the second seed. Well, I get it. It's like things are wide open. And you say, all right, get another piece, and who knows? Maybe this is the year to make a run. This is the parity, right? So I get, considering everything that we talked about earlier on this podcast, how are we feeling? Do you want to make a trade? Where are you on this?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see a move for some bench help, right? And I think the Celtics have first round draft picks, right? They have two this year. We also have the Memphis pick, which is falling back, which I still think is their most valuable asset. And then we do have some younger players, right? I don't know how much value Edwards has or Tremont Waters, or maybe it's a player that they're pursuing that requires them to trade, Langford. I don't know, but so I think, again, like you said, I think you summed it up well there when you said, we're close, but can we get closer? To me, the obvious hole, aside from center, and I don't think there's anyone out there that can really fill that void, is somebody who can bring some punch off the bench. So we've seen names like Davis Bertans. He would take a little bit more. But, it's funny, as I was sitting down to do some prep for the show. Yes, I show prep.
Get out of here. When did you start that?
Tonight. Hmm. It just dawned on me that, the Pistons are, they're just mired at the bottom of the conference again, or they're going nowhere. Derrick Rose is having a pretty good season. How come I'm not hearing much about Derrick Rose? Why isn't his name popping up in trade rooms? And I thought, well, hey, maybe he could help the Celtics. So that's where my head is at right now. I don't know how the Celtics view him, how he would fit in offensively. I haven't watched him play much this year. Defensively, where he's at, how efficient of a player he is. So, but it seems like he could be somebody that could be acquired at a relatively, for a reasonable cost. So that's where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Danny Ainge is there, but that's what I'll feel better if there's one more body coming off that bench, a veteran player who can get us some buckets.
I will say just right off the bat, I find Derrick Rose problematic. I don't like his criminal problems. Not, he was cleared and all of that. I just don't like the tenor of all of that stuff, so I would prefer greatly not to have him on the team. However, since we're here, and maybe that's not a universal feeling, maybe that's not something that's shared with the team, I do not know. I haven't heard anything linked with them and Derrick Rose and the Pistons. Like, Derrick Rose is getting, obviously he's getting some all-star votes because he's Derrick Rose, and he's having the best shooting season of his career so far. You look at the effective field goal percentage at 52 is higher than any other season, pretty close to what it was last year. He's shooting better from two this year, not quite as good from three. Defensively, he's got his issues, but really, just for basketball reasons, why I'm not interested in Derrick Rose is I don't think he fits what the Celtics necessarily need when they're at full strength. Now, maybe if guys are hurt and you need a guy to kind of be a ball dominant scorer off the bench, then he could be an option. But I think when the Celtics are playing fully healthy, you're looking at pulling either, I don't know, Kemba and Jason, or some combination of the, you know, Jalen and Gordon, some combination of those two off early. You're bringing in Marcus Smart and either Cantor or Grant Williams, depending on the matchup. And you're still leaving two of those other guys out there. So you have three of your best players on the floor kind of at all times. The kind of help you need off the bench in that situation is just like another spot up guy, catch and shoot kind of guy. That I think that's more in line with what the Celtics need. So I wouldn't go with Derrick Rose just from a basketball standpoint.
Yeah. So that makes sense. And that was one of the, you know, that was the concern. One of the concerns I had was about the fit.
Also, he makes $7 million. So like, you got to throw that out there. He makes $7 million. What do the Pistons want? You'd have to attach draft picks. You could probably get him for some combination of like Poirier and Ogilvy or let's see.
That works. I tried that, by the way. That works. And then you throw in a first round pick.
Yeah.
So that works.
I'd rather go second rounders. I don't know if I'm going first round pick for Derrick Rose, but even like Boston's own at the end of the, I just, I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
No. Well, to me, I just view those picks. I mean, they have to, not that Ainge is just going to throw them away in the trash, but they're not going to make those picks this year. So for me, it's like, if you can add a piece this year that can help them advance in the playoffs, to me, it seems to be worth the risk. But I get your point about Rose, and I do buy into, you know, what you're saying about how they're staggering, you know, two of their four, you know, their top four players to cover for the bench's, you know, weakness or lack of punch. So that makes sense. I guess I'm still trying to envision who can they bring in who can just come in and get them some. And get them some buckets, because I still think that would be helpful. And don't, you know, whenever the, you know, the whole, whenever the B word comes up, you know, buyout, those guys, those are always, you know, those are always so much hype around them. But
we do it every year, don't we? It's like, oh, the buyout guys, and the buyout guys never make a difference. It's like one or two that make a difference here and there. I mean, but. So my guy that I've settled on, and you know, once you make a decision, you're like married to this idea. I'm settled in on Manya Bielica from Sacramento, who was on a 2-year deal, second year non-guaranteed. He's making $6.8 million. So Kings going nowhere. Bielica is 32. He's going to be 32 this year. Doesn't quite fit their timeline. Hey, we're contending, we could use this guy, a 6'10 guy who can shoot and hit 40% of his threes, then that guy fits there. But now that you're not, you might as well just see if you can get an asset for him. And I think he can help a contending team, and he's gettable. So if you give up that deal that I was talking about with Poirier, who they could easily buy out. You can throw cash. You got Semi Ojeleye, who's team option next year. So those guys that you can waive those guys, or you can even stretch Poirier, and it's like negligible on the cap. So I think money wise it works. I don't think they're looking to get any sort of player. I don't even know if they're looking to trade him, first of all. But if you can turn a guy like that into – now, for that guy, maybe I would give the Milwaukee pick because it's a first-round pick and it's going to be at the end of the draft. Or maybe you give them second-rounders, maybe a couple of second-rounders because those are – I actually think a couple of second-rounders would be more valuable than the 30th pick. Because the 30th pick is guaranteed money, and the second rounders aren't, so
it could be, yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I would definitely be calling Sacramento about Bielitsa again. 6'10", so he's a stretch big. He kind of solves both problems a little bit. Not that he's like a big shot blocker or anything like that, but he's a big dude.
But he's tall.
He's tall, right? He's averaging 6.5 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
He's okay. He's scoring 12 points on 48% shooting. He's shooting almost 44% from three. He's hitting making two, taking 4.5. So again, at like 43.8%. He hits his free throws. He's hitting free throws at almost 84% this year. I mean, for a guy coming off the bench, I would definitely take a good hard look at him. Like that, nice. That's my main target.
You sold me. You sold me. He fits the profile. You know, he's attainable in that we have enough assets to get him. It's unsure whether Sacramento would be willing to move him, but why not? So I think, and that's, you know, I think we can agree that's the type of move that's going to be made. It's not going to be this sort of, and as the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm already bracing for me like reverse jinxing it or something, because in years past I've been pushing for these blockbuster moves and they never happen. And now I'm about to say, you know, that there's not going to be a blockbuster move, that it's just going to be this rotation guy. But I think that's, you know, I think you're in the zone. That's the move Ainge makes if he makes one.
All right, great. So we've established that I am again correct in my. I mean, you'd think I'd be tired of being this right this long, but I'm not. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the podcast. Stick around. More Locked On Celtics coming up next. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So one of the questions here we've asked over and over again, but like now that we're almost halfway through the season, you just kind of curious what your opinion is now on what rookies can we trust here. I would assume that Grant Williams is front and center there, but have you seen enough to think like, oh, Romeo Langford, we can just get him some reps and get him healthy. Maybe you just don't need to make a trade. Maybe Romeo is a guy that you can count on later on.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Langford, I was really starting to see what, you know, what Brad and Danny saw in him. You would see stretches where he was active, playing defense, scoring, and then he gets sick, and then he's out for like three games again, right? So I know it's not an injury, but it just fits his profile where he's just not on the court. So he could be it. I think, and there's almost consensus now that Grant, you know, we've seen enough of Grant Williams that he's definitely proven his worth on the defensive end. I mean, and he started at rock bottom offensively. He's improving. But I'm having some trust in him. He's not, you know, he's still a rookie. He's not going to be right 100% of the time, but just watching his ability to switch and play different sized players. And he's tough. There's just a lot to like about him. So I'm building trust in Grant for sure. Romeo, I see what's there, but still there always seems to be something that keeps him off the court. So that's still going to be his hang up or my hang up with him.
Yeah, it's such bad luck with Romeo. I do see what they see in him. Grant, for all of the talk about his shooting, in 7 January games, he's shooting 52.5%. He's shooting 44% from three, 44.4% from three. So, but then he's shooting 54% from the line. So, but point is, he's shown the ability to kind of bounce back. I'm most impressed with his ability to not let the three-point thing get in his head and to make the improvements from the beginning of the year till now to not get burned every time he switches onto a guard in the perimeter. Like, more than anything, the ability to do those two things show you where his head's at, his kind of mental makeup, and what he sees as his value to the team, because he's working on that shot, and he didn't let that get him down. He just kept on shooting, and he knew he had the confidence that that was going to fall, and it did. And he knew that the Celtics needed him to be able to switch onto guys on the perimeter, and his footwork has improved incredibly. And he's out there kind of like, he looks like those NFL, like you see the football players, like the defensive back drills where they're like swiveling their hips and they're, you know, like he's really keeping himself square and sliding much more effectively. So I mean, I'm just impressed with his progress. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, I read through the piece that you posted. That was you. You posted that today or yesterday?
Yeah, this morning.
Recently, yeah. So you had some great clips watching him and showcasing how he positions himself against, like you said, smaller, quicker defenders. And you know, for me, with him offensively, you know, he's gonna end up being the open man a lot of the times when the teammate, you know, the ball's moving around, he'll end up being open. He'll be taking those open three-pointers, or when they're really moving the ball, if he's in the paint, taking those mid-range shots or cleaning up down low. So as long as he's doing that within the offense, I think he's going to be efficient, right? It's the moment you ask him to do a little bit too much, which mm-hmm. never should be the case considering all the offensive players they have on this team. So for me, I like his versatility. And obviously Brad does. It seems like Ojulay has fallen back a bit. You know, sometimes Brad rolls with Shemi, and sometimes, you know, we don't see him, it seems like, for a few games. But I think having Grant being so versatile might be putting a dent into some of those minutes.
Yeah, it felt like earlier in the year, Grant like kind of stormed out and took some of Ojulay's minutes. And there was a point where it was on that West Coast trip where there was some talk about, like, they're kind of playing him to either figure out, is he playable or are we cutting bait? And that Sacramento game was where he started to hit some of his threes and to show his worth, and to show that he had, like, okay, he's playable, he has the value. But so December he hit 41% of his threes. November he hit 38. January, 6 games, 33 right now, 33% of his threes. So he's kind of back to struggling a little bit. So, you know, we'll see. I think really it's situational. And for like Grant will probably get a DNP somewhere along the way. Moving forward, you know, like that's how it's going to go. Enes Kanter might get a DNP somewhere along the way. Like that's possible. It's there's really only like 6 guys who are guaranteed to not. And everyone else, it is kind of up in the air. So it depends on the matchups. And if Ojulay gets minutes and kind of shows himself to be effective, then Brad will roll with it. And if that means Grant sits for a game, then he sits for a game.
Did you think that Williams was on the brink of kind of getting some time with Maine, you know, early last month when we weren't seeing the things we're seeing now? Do you think he was there? Or do you think
Now, I don't know how close they were to sending him to Maine. I felt like if anything, the numbers crunch was going to keep him like in Boston, because they just needed to have the idea of him playing well there. So, but I mean, there was a point in the season where he was kind of, I think, trending that way. But that was also the point of the season where he was getting burned on the perimeter. And I wouldn't have been surprised if they talked about, like, hey, let's get him some like extended minutes to kind of work on that positioning to see if we can get him some time. Did they assign him once to get like practice? I feel like there was one actual assignment for Grant Williams to the Red Claws for like a practice, and then they recalled him later that day.
Yeah, I don't recollect that. I just was curious to see, you know, where, you know, I just kind of see that as where he's, you know, where he is in the rotation. But you're right. Once Rob, you know, obviously with the injuries to Poirier and Williams, they really became shorthanded, and he's kind of their now default third center, right?
I mean,
he's been getting small ball, you know, he played minutes there. So,
there was a lineup where it was like him and Ojale were the front court.
Yeah.
I mean, it was against Chicago, but anyway. All right. Well, we'll see how things go. Celtics and Pistons. Chuck's favorite player, Derrick Rose, is going to be in town. So, we'll talk after that. Celtics with a tough home road back to back with the Pistons at home on Wednesday night, and then in Milwaukee on Thursday night for an 8 o'clock TNT game. So, post game pods after that for sure. So be sure to subscribe if you haven't yet to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Also make sure you're checking out our sponsor, Echelon. Don't pay a ton for a thing like Peloton. Go ahead and get your Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA to get this deal. And all of you regular subscribers, shout out to you for the 5-star ratings, the good written reviews, and sharing the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.